Welcome to Stopgap Talks, your go-to podcast for expert insights into the marketing, digital, creative, and research recruitment landscape. With over 30 years of experience, our consultants are here to share the wisdom, strategies, and success stories that can transform your hiring or career journey. If you enjoy the episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review to help others find us. Now let's dive in to the latest episode of Stopgap Talks.
Hi, and welcome to Stopgap Talks. I'm Claude. I'm one of the lead consultants here, and I'm joined with Tess, another consultant and colleague of mine. And today we're going to be talking about ghosting. Ghosting in recruitment, obviously. So, Tess, tell me, what is ghosting?
So, I think, you know, we hear a lot about ghosting in the dating world, and essentially it's no different in recruitment. I think it's, you know, ultimately an abrupt or unexplained kind of cutting off of any contact or communication. And, you know, it's no secret, the job market at the moment is tough. So lots of people are looking and applying for roles, and ghosting is one of the most common issues that we see and hear a lot of feedback about at the moment. And, you know, we are very aware that recruiters have a terrible reputation for being the worst offenders. So we wanted to delve into it a bit more here. So I think one of the, you know, the most common complaints that we hear is that people are just not hearing anything back from job applications, or even worse, after interviews.
But do you think, I mean, obviously the first thing we think about, well, I think about when we talk about ghosting, before we started hearing about it in our world, was in dating, like you alluded to. Where does it start in recruitment? You've just said job applications. Do you think that that's where the relationship, as it were, starts for a candidate, that it's actually at the job application point? Or is it just after interviews?
For me, I would argue that as a job hunter, it's the former. It's when you apply for a role, because I feel like at that point you've already invested time and effort into submitting your application. You might have created a bespoke CV and written a cover letter if that's been required. So for me, I feel like, you know, it's reasonable to expect some sort of response to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand, you know, technically you don't have a relationship at that stage, and it's not a cutting off of communication that's already happened, but it's definitely where people are feeling left in the dark a lot, you think, at the moment.
Do you think that's where people are feeling it the most, at the application point, or is it worse if it happens once you've actually engaged with somebody?
It's worse. Yeah, for sure. I think it's worse if you've already engaged, you've already had a conversation, or, you know, you've had an interview.
Yeah.
But I suppose, yeah, again, just given the sheer numbers of applications happening at the moment, there is a lot of it going on at application stage.
Yes, there is, isn't there? There's definitely the, you'll only hear back if you are successful.
Yeah. But even in a way, even that is something, at least if you get an automated response to say, we're looking at your application, you will hear if you're successful. That's at least something. It's when you hear absolutely nothing that I feel like people are just getting a bit frustrated.
Yeah, and don't
and,
even
you
know,
know. And that's fair enough.
Yeah, don't even know if their application has got through.
You're relying
on technology.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you've just pointed out, scenarios are kind of endless, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like you say, I think it's the frustrations begin at application stage, but as you say, I think it's a lot worse once you've actually engaged with somebody, whoever that might be, had an initial conversation, or again, it gets worse if you've actually had an interview, you've even got through to final stage interview. I think that is where the damage can become more to somebody's mental health once they've done even more, they've engaged mm-hmm. with somebody, they've had mm-hmm. conversations, they've presented, perhaps they've got through to final stage, and then everything yeah. stops.
Or yeah, I mean, presenting stops. is a good point, actually. Like, again, you know, speaking to people and looking on LinkedIn, you see so many people now who are getting incredibly, you know, frustrated and down that they are investing so much time into presenting, you know, massive decks to employers, and then yeah, just hearing no feedback.
Yeah,
and it's just like, why do I keep doing this mm. when I'm getting nothing in response?
Yeah. It's like there's a lack of respect.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, obviously we're looking at it, our discussion so far, we've been looking at it from somebody who is applying for a role. But I think we have to be frank about this. And just like in a dating relationship, it takes two. Obviously, there's sometimes three people in this relationship, not always. Mm-hmm. So if you're applying direct, obviously that's the two of you, but if you're working with an agency, a recruiter, there can be three people in yeah. in this relationship. And personally, having been doing this for nearly 20 years now, I don't think you can say it's just companies who ghost or it's recruiters who ghost. I think it's people, ultimately.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
all do it at some point. Mm-hmm. And like we said, lots of different scenarios about how you can feel ghosted. Like you've pointed out, after you've applied for a role and you don't hear anything, you may have a chat with a recruiter about an application that you've made. And you don't hear anything, or you have an interview, you get all the way through yeah. to interview stages, and you equally don't hear anything. But from the other side of, mm-hmm. of the fence, a company might also experience
yeah.
ghosting, mightn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And what might those scenarios be?
I mean, I think, well, if we're talking where there's three parties involved, if we're working with an internal recruitment team or a hiring manager, they brief us on a role and we struggle to find the right candidates and we don't communicate what's happening, you know, yeah. they're going to feel a bit left in the dark and a bit ghosted there. Similarly, if we do get candidates to interview stage, say we are trusting our candidates to show up for an interview, mm-hmm. they don't always. Candidates can just disappear at any stage of the process.
Yeah.
That's where they may feel as a recruiting business that they're feeling ghosted. But what I think as well, you know, as the third party in these yeah. scenarios, what people may not realise quite so much is that as recruiters, we get ghosted on a daily basis. And I was just saying to you yesterday that I was getting ghosted
yes.
by some candidates. So, you know, it happens in all sorts of different scenarios. Mm. You know, we talk to a candidate, they're really interested in a role. So we have a chat and then they just stop picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Or they get to interview stage and again, they just disappear off the face of the earth. Or even worse, you know, a candidate gets offered a role and just mm-hmm. vanishes. At various stages of the process. And also, you know, as we really try to maintain relationships with our candidates once they're in a role, and of course understand that, you know, their priority is different now. They've yeah. got the job, they don't necessarily feel the need to maintain that relationship, so they yeah. you know, they don't return any calls once they're in a role, and we get it from companies too, obviously. Often we present CVs, we never hear anything back, or people yeah. interview, we never get any feedback. And I think that's where we get the bad reputation, and justifiably so in some situations, but mm-hmm. it's often because we are not getting the feedback as the middle person in the relationship.
Yeah. And I remember somebody said to me once, and I have had this scenario this week, but yeah. somebody said to me once that recruitment is 5% of the line managers. If you're dealing with a line manager, it's 5% of the line manager's time, and it's 95% of my time.
Yeah.
So that's just that's why we feel like we're getting ghosted all the time. And it's one of one of the hardest lessons in recruitment to learn is that, and maybe that's, you know, where we can support candidates a bit more, especially those who are applying direct, is the resilience that you mm-hmm. have to build. And also the fact that it's generally not personal.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it is really a small, that part, that recruitment piece for that person is a small part of their day or their week. While it is obviously a huge part of ours, and for somebody who's maybe gone through an entire process, it's everything that they're focusing on. So an enormous part for them, and it really does feel personal, but 99% of the time I really don't think it is.
For sure.
And you know, the other side of it is that I said also that I've experienced it this week where I believe I've not heard back from a client. I had presented some CVs. I have now assumed at this point that role has been filled. And I just am obviously fed that back to the individuals that are involved, and and the role has been closed. It's not ideal, but I don't believe that it's been done maliciously or anything like that. I do believe that things change in businesses and in companies. Things are changing all the time. And like we say, it's just not always the top priority. Mm-hmm. I suppose it just think. What is interesting in this day and age is we have so many methods of communication. I mean, when I when I started out as a baby recruiter a long time ago, I do remember at the time being my first boss telling me about Rolodexes, but luckily I was way beyond that point, and faxing CVs. But we didn't have LinkedIn. It was job boards, emails, phone calls, and that was it. And job boards probably were still quite new at the time, whereas now since then there's been texting, there's WhatsApp, there's LinkedIn, there's LinkedIn Messenger, there's InMails.
Yeah.
The possibilities to communicate with somebody are endless, and yet we seem to be as bad.
Yeah,
if not worse than we were 20 years ago.
I mean, I think there's so many reasons why it happens, though. I think, you know, and as I said, you know, at the beginning, the job market at the moment is challenging. You know, candidates are going to be applying and potentially interviewing for a lot of roles at the same time. And the reality is that not everything they're applying for is going to be the dream job. Of course.
True.
So if they are in the process for multiple roles and one of them is their preferred role over another, you know, their priorities are going to shift. It's not going to be top of their list to update us or a hiring team that they are no longer interested in a role. Yeah. It's understandable. We get it. It's just, you know, communication is key, obviously. But similarly, and one thing that I, you know, having not been in the recruitment game for quite as long as you have, I think one of the things that was tough for me at the start, and it's still tough, you know, it's never easy delivering bad news.
No.
You know, it's never easy telling someone that they haven't got a job. And it's never easy. On the other side, it's not easy for a candidate to say, I'm no longer interested in your role. Sometimes it's easier to just, you know, be silent and let your message be communicated that way. But on the other side as well, there's also a fear of hearing the bad news or feeling embarrassed if you haven't performed well in an interview. I know that when I was, and this is going back a long time, I was interviewing and I'd gone via a recruiter and they put me forward for a role. I went to interview and I knew I'd done a terrible job. I knew I'd just shamed myself. And then, so I'm
sure it wasn't that bad. After,
and I had a call from the recruiter afterwards, you know, to find out how it had gone, and said, and left me a voicemail saying they had feedback to share with me. And I just kind of thought, no, you know, I don't need to hear how terrible I've been. So I never returned the call. And now, obviously, being on the other side of the fence, I understand that that would be frustrating from the recruiter's point of view.
What happens if you'd actually got that job? I mean, maybe the feedback wasn't good. Maybe the feedback was good, Tess. You don't know. No.
I do.
Oh, okay. That's a whole other discussion to be had around like trying to read how you did an interview. But no, I think you've made a really good point there. And it's a good point in the fact that I've been brought up in the world of recruitment of you pick up the phone, you always talk to somebody. That's the best way to build a relationship. But it's a very fair point that the person on the other end of the phone doesn't always want to have to hear that news direct from you. I never want to leave a message with bad feedback or feedback with bad news, or however you want to say that. But, you know, that is a good point that some people would prefer to have that news in a message, so, or maybe an email, so they can process it and then they can come back to you once they've had that time to deal with it and think about it, instead of having to, you know, respond and think about it on the phone with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you said before, there are so many different methods of communication now. So, you know, it's about using whatever everyone is most comfortable with, whether it is text or it's WhatsApp or it's a LinkedIn message, whatever it might be, you know. And that goes back to the fact that we need to build strong relationships with whoever we're working with and understand what their preferences are and how they like to communicate and how they want to be, you know, how they want news to be shared as well.
I mean, admittedly, as a company that all we do is recruitment, we have everything set up to be able to manage that. We can communicate via text or WhatsApp or you know, automated messages. Not everybody has that, and I suppose that's the thing out there from a company's point of view. Yes, maybe if you're dealing with a large blue chip organization with a big internal team, they'll be set up to give a good experience, but not all businesses are. And like you pointed out earlier, it's a tough market. There are lots of applications, and some companies can be overwhelmed. So,
of course,
again, it boils back to that. It's not always personal. Sometimes it is just process or lack of.
And I think as well, it's workload, you know, not just overwhelmed hiring managers who are receiving hundreds of job applications. Also from our side as well, you know, the day-to-day life of a recruiter can at times be incredibly fast-paced, and unfortunately things sometimes do slip through the net, you know, despite our best intentions. But what I would say is that, in my experience at least, working at Stopgap, most recruiters actually do this job because we enjoy helping people. So it's certainly not done deliberately, but you know, unfortunately, human error does sometimes happen.
Yeah, it does. We are all, as you said, human after all. So
we're not perfect, sadly.
Definitely not. So is there anything that we can do to prevent from our side, and also prevent ghosting for people, what they can do to minimize the risk of it happening?
I mean, we've kind of touched on some of it already. I think communication, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about building relationships, it's about building trust, and that's done by having that open communication, transparency, and frequent updates as well. It's all, you know, even if you don't have any news for someone, tell them you don't have any news, that sort of thing. And as I said, whether that's by phone, email, text, whatever it might be, just that communication relationship piece. It's just
being
really
honest.
Important.
isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Honest and
from both sides. From both sides. Or from all sides.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes people are afraid to share that, you know, this role isn't as important or maybe isn't at their top. But yeah, it's good to know from our side. It doesn't mean you're going to get pulled out from the opportunity. It just helps us manage expectations on all sides when it's the right time to manage them as well. Yeah, I think from our side, you know, we do have a responsibility, like you said at the beginning. Recruiters don't have the best reputation for not ghosting people. But so I think the biggest thing I'll take from this is not thinking that communication always has to be via phone, that just people would be happy to get anything to keep them up to date with what's going on, so they know where they're at. I think we've just got to keep remembering to put ourselves in other people's shoes and treat them the way that we would want to be treated if we were out job hunting.
Yeah. And I think going back to, you know, what we were saying about where does that relationship
begin
between an applicant and either a recruiter or a hiring manager or hiring business. For me, I think, you know, that relationship ultimately begins with an employee from the day they engage with the brand, not the first day that they walk into the office.
Yeah.
It's about making sure they have a good experience from the outset, whatever that might mean.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, you know, as you've already kind of alluded to, it's not personal in the majority of cases. It may just be an oversight, doesn't make it okay. But usually there is a very valid reason why there has been silence. And I think, you know, one of the hardest things about what we do is that there's so much that we can't control, because we are dealing with various different parties, all of whom are humans at the end of the day. And, you know, we have things going on in life. We have partners, children, pets, parents, houses and bills and lives, you know, that are going on in the background, and those things get in the way and they affect, you know, our priorities, our decisions, and that's just life. That is what happens. Exactly.
And I think, you know, for anybody out there listening to this who's saying, well, that's all well and good, but it's still going to happen, look, all I would say is you should never be afraid to chase. You don't have to be. You should keep it polite, be firm. To be honest, just like we have to learn, there may come a time that it's apparent you're not successful and you just got to assume that it's a no, or that role's gone and you need to move on. But never be afraid of chasing for feedback. As long as it's done in a professional way, you have the right to a response. And I think ultimately, if you're out there in your job hunting at the moment and you found this process incredibly frustrating, then the next time you're hiring, remember what it was like to be on the other side of the fence. And please make the effort to give feedback and to get back to people. Because ultimately that's the only way that you can affect the change that you want to see right now, is to ensure that the next time you're the hiring manager, you treat people the way that you had hoped to be treated yourself. And that will help affect that change. And we will make a pledge, won't we, Tess, to try to make sure that we don't ghost
absolutely
you.
And like, on your point that you just said about chasing, you know, I always say to candidates, please, you know, don't worry about chasing me, please do, you know, sometimes things happen. So we will all, yes, we're not perfect, as I said, but we can do is try our best to make sure everyone has the best experience.
Exactly that. I hope that has helped for people out there, if you're listening, understand a little bit about ghosting from all points of view in the recruitment process. If you've liked what you've heard, then do make sure you're following us for the next podcast.